Yo. Hey guys, welcome back to another awesome edition of the Best Practices Show. Digital workflows have taken over dentistry and you're starting to see it and you're starting to do it. And there's challenges, there's ups, and there's downs. And so today I bring back a great friend of ours, great mentor of mine, Dr. John Cranham, and he walks us through the latest trends in digital workflows, some of the things he's seeing right now, some of the challenges in implementation, and a few of the downsides. So please listen up. I hope you guys enjoy this, and we'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show podcast. You know the GM around here. I get to bring on some of my favorite friends, mentors, teachers, coaches, speakers anywhere in the world. And today I'm going to bring back one of my favorite, a great mentor of mine who helped me a lot, still helps me in my career. His name is Dr. John Cranham. We're going to be talking about the latest, about what's happening in his life and the latest in the digital workflow. Hey, brother, welcome back again and again and again. How are you?
I'm good. It's great to be back, as you know, as always.
Yeah. So I'll just tell you guys listening, in your life, when you create a business or you do anything, what adds value in your life is when you meet somebody who's on a path in front of you and says, come here, kid, don't do that. And you go, what? And you go, and they add so many things to your life. And you're going to hear from Dr. John Cranham, who has been one of my favorite people of all time and helped me so much. Even in my speaking career, he told me, don't do the Saturdays. This is the guy that said, don't do Saturdays. I'm like, really? He's like, don't do Saturdays. And I started doing it. And they would call me back and go, can you do a Thursday or Friday? Do you know how many hours of my life were saved by the simplest things or most simple things you've ever shared? So I'm so grateful to have you back. So I want to ask you this, like, what are you up to now? You know, like, what are you doing? What's the latest? Your kids are growing up. You have a daughter who's a dentist now. Get us caught up. And for those people that don't know who you are, let's loop them in too.
Yeah. So, I just had a really great place in my life. I turned 63 in August. Still as passionate about dentistry as maybe I've ever been, with some of the just amazing things that are happening and I dreamt about for a really long time. I think a lot of people know that I was with the Dawson Academy, was clinical director there from 2004 till 2020. And Pete died in 2019, and my partner Joan Forrest retired, who was sort of running the show. And at that time I was really enamored by a lot of the digital things that were happening, and it was always a goal to figure out how to do comprehensive care on virtual articulation and to just try to make the whole process of doing not only complex stuff, but simple things better and easier to implement. And so at that time, it just seemed like an extremely daunting task to do that at Dawson, because you have to change this massive curriculum. And so it kind of started as maybe a little bit of a sabbatical to go look at that. And what's transpired is partnering up with Lee Culp with Cranham Culp Digital Dentistry. And now, a couple hundred strong with people that we're working with and practices. And so really our mission is to help dental teams transition to 100% digital workflows while maintaining the sanctity of sound, aesthetic, occlusal, biologic, and tooth-by-tooth structural principles. Like, we don't want to go digital and compromise. We still want to be able to do the same level of aesthetics, same level of function, and all that. So that's taken a big part of my time. I'm in the practice Monday through Wednesday. I work with, do a lot of the online videos and training and coaching with doctors on Thursday and Friday and a little bit Saturday mornings. I can do that from my lake house. So a lot more lake time and dock time, which has been fantastic. You mentioned my daughter. She's coming up on 4 years out, and we'll finish up at the Pankey at Pankey Institute in May, and I'll be taking E4 with her. So it's going to be really special to help her finish up. My son, who I wrote the book about, who's special needs kind of grew up special needs, but has really grown out a lot of it. He's with us and does a lot of the virtual mountings. It turns out 30 years of video games paid off because he's really good at all those workflows. And then what's really exciting is my youngest daughter, who was a teacher, special ed teacher, left teaching in May, kind of unsure what she's going to do. She's a wedding photographer and has had that business. But she just got hired by Zimmer Biomet as the Richmond sales rep. So wow. I have 3 years of ministry, which is really cool. She's going to kill that. It's going to be great.
That's very cool. I did not know that. Yeah. I have so many questions for you because as you've created this community and you have the heart of a teacher, you know, one of the things I want to know is just what's the latest trend? And anybody I interview, I'm like, what's the thread that's going on right now? So as we're doing this interview, it's February of 2024. What's the trend you're seeing?
Yeah, I think we're kind of at a point now where people are scanning, right? I mean, for a long time, it was like, do I get a scanner? And people were unsure. But I think not everybody, but the vast majority of people have started scanning. And I even see a lot of practices that have gone on and bought printers, a lot of printers coming into practices. But I think what's really interesting is I think for a long time, doctors, dental teams thought that if they had a scanner and they bought a printer, they'd be able to do all this stuff. And what they're learning is the piece that's in between is software. And so if you're going to be creating outputs in-house, if you're wanting to do that, you kind of have to make a decision about software that's either going to be 3Shapes or it's going to be the exocad. Exocad's pretty hot right now. I think doing a little better job in terms of reaching dentists. I think 3Shapes still has a little more breadth to it. That's kind of what we work with, although I'm learning 3Shapes now too. But I think we're kind of at that point right now that a lot of practices are intrigued by being able to kind of put stone aside and more comprehensive doctors that took face bows and mounted models and did some of that are intrigued by, you know, can we do this digitally? And you absolutely can. And, but I think the number one trend that surprised me with my group is when I started this, you know, I got enamored with it and like, I always do, kind of went head over heels into it, was doing most of the mounting and planning myself. And we started working with doctors. What came up almost immediately was dentists saying, like, I don't really want to be the software guy. Mm-hmm. Could you work with my assistant? And it makes sense, right? Because most doctors that had expertise in the analog world weren't mounting their models. They trained their assistant to do it. And so I see that trend, right? The fastest growing group that we're working with are doctors that want to do a lot of this in-house. Like they want to do their splints in-house. They want to do their planning in-house. They want to do their wax ups. We're starting to print provisionals the same day we prep, which is incredible. But the key, I think, for really good implementation is getting that team member involved.
Yeah.
Because at that point, you know, if the dentist can be over their shoulder at key moments and say, no, let's put the incised ledge here. Let's set the pin. Let's open the vertical to here. Let's whatever we're doing. They can be the masters of their planning, but they don't have to be the master of the buttonology.
Yeah.
That's what I think is going to cause this to explode because the software is not that complicated. There's just a lot of repetitive keystrokes you need to learn. And that's why, you know, in our training, we did it all video based. So if a doc wants to learn how to mount models or do a splint, you know, there's videos that they can follow. And once the keystrokes are memorized, then it becomes part of the culture of the practice. One of the things that's interesting about digital is it's very difficult to go to a 3-day course and learn it because this software has so many pieces to it. You kind of have to learn it one step at a time by workflow. And so having a library of videos specific to dental teams is an important part of that.
Yeah. I have so many questions for you. So there's no doubt digital is changing the world. I mean, everybody's talking about it's an important piece. What percentage of dentists right now that you meet have adopted digital? Just give me some broad percentages, you know?
So I think the metrics are sort of interesting. And again, it depends on what level we're talking about.
Right.
If we're talking about just scanning, you know, if we're just replacing impression material, which is what scanners do, you know, I think we're starting to get over 50% in terms of docs that have made that decision. And again, I'm talking about the doctors that would listen to this podcast.
Right.
I'm talking
right.
about the doctors. That there's going to be a percentage there that will probably never, but certainly younger dentists, like, it's so interesting to watch my daughter. Like, when I was learning this, it's almost like when I was looking at the screen, the virtual articulator, I had to think about what it was like in the analog world to understand what I was seeing on the computer.
Right.
And, you know, when she was doing it, she made it very clear right off the bat that she saw it better on the screen than with some archaic stone thing in their hand, you know?
Right.
And it blew my mind. But, you know, she made the point, holding up her phone, she goes, "Dad, I've had a screen in my hand my whole life." And it's different for us older guys. You know, we didn't have that three-dimensional world. So younger people, it's just so apparent to them. And so for each, you know, 5 years that goes by, you have a group of dentists that are retiring that are never probably going to be, not many of them are going to do it, but you have 5 years of new doctors that are entering the market that want to be so far away from stone that they can hardly stand it. You know, they're all digital. So that's sort of scanning. Now, when we start talking about virtual articulation and all that stuff, it's a much smaller percentage, although I think there's a lot of intrigue. Like, I'm doing a 3-day digital class at Panky, an introductory. It sold out in like 7 minutes or something. Like, people are so intrigued by it. That's kind of where we're at in terms of that. Now, what I would say for dentists to think about, and this is one of the things I'm really focusing on this year, it's daunting for a young dentist or any dentist to think about scanning, buying, you know, spending $6,000 or $7,000 on software, and then another $3,000 to $10,000 on a printer. And you don't need to do that for digital. What you could do is get a scanner and then formulate a really good relationship with a lab, like, you know, Lee's lab or John Levitka's lab. And there's several labs out there that are very digitally oriented. And I think one of the most underutilized things is if you send your scans and some photographs to a lab with a little script about what you want to see on an articulator, they can mount all that for you, and you can use TeamViewer, and you can be staring at the exact same thing on the screen, just like you're sitting next to each other. You can even both control the mouse. So TeamViewer is amazing. That's how I work with all my clients. Like, if they have something on their virtual articulator, I call into their computer and we can both work on it and talk about, you know, vertical or whatever the challenges of the case. So I would say docs that are scanning that want to take this next step, have a conversation with your lab about, you know, if you sent them the models and you sent them the photographs, could we do some TeamViewer meetings and plan, like really plan? Don't just send the preps, right? Get involved with them at a high level when they're doing the wax up for you.
Right.
And your dentistry will improve dramatically. And again, you know, I want you to think about this, and it's such a huge jump over the analog world, because if you sent models and photographs to a lab and they waxed on an analog instrument and they called you and started asking you questions, you couldn't see what they were doing.
Like, right.
There was no way to have input. You really didn't see it until it came back. And a lot of time it's coming back the day before the case is you're going to prep it. And if it's not right, you're kind of in trouble. So to me, the most exciting thing about this and what makes the hair stick up on my neck about digital is the level of communication, like the ability for us to see from hundreds of miles away, whether it's you're working with a lab or I'm working with a coaching client or I'm across town talking to my orthodontist, like we can pull up our screens, share the virtual articulator, share photographs, share x-rays, and have a conversation like we're in the same room. We couldn't do that in the analog world.
Yeah, I don't think I've shared this with you, but we're in a pretty good part of Milwaukee in a nice building, and a company came in, one of the largest 3D printing companies in the world, and just took over two floors. And I'm like, that's pretty big, just two large floors. They're an amazing company. They are so good to us. And they give us a tour. They hang out. We have lunch up there. They're such good people. Well, they have what's called a printer graveyard. I'm like, you have a printer graveyard? Yeah, these are all printers that were active a year ago. And they're all like stapled to the wall or drilled to the wall. And they make a point when they're bringing guests through, like myself, look at the size of that printer. Let me show you the new ones. And the new ones are 50% the size. And they have the prototypes of the ones that are coming after that. And your first thought is, holy moly, this is moving so fast. So your advice is really sound. I think it's more than just cost. You're thinking about time. You're thinking about energy. You also have this side variable of like technology. I mean, anybody that's ever had a CERAC, like.
And what you love doing. Like I'm a tech guy. So I like having it all in there and I like the control. And you know, I like my TMJ side of my practice. If somebody comes in with a hot joint, you know, before we were taking impressions, sending it to Great Lakes, I'd get the splint 2 weeks later. If I'm in the morning, I can have an orthotic for them in the afternoon. That's like one of the best orthotics I've ever made. You know, I mean, the materials are better. They're thermoplastic. You can heat them. I mean, I can go on and on about that. That's a whole other podcast. But so depends on what you want to do, but and how far you want to go in with it. But I just want to be clear that if you have a scanner, there's no reason why you don't increase your relationship with the lab and start having high levels of communication, and your dentistry will get better. It'll get more predictive and more efficient and make patients happier and all that good stuff.
Yeah. And let's go back to the implementation challenges of adoption, because that's where a lot of people get stuck. So let's, you know, when you say implementation challenges, like taking this on, what are you seeing are the biggest challenges to adopting it?
So I think, you know, it's interesting. So I got this young doc right now I'm working with named Christian, and he's going to be a star. Like you can just see it in his eyes, and he's one of these guys that if I tell him to do something, he won't do it like next month. It's like the next day he's like, okay, now what? You know, it's like, he'll go in and do. So my point is not everybody has to be like this, but if you're going to implement anything into your practice, and this goes to getting good photographs, you know, whatever you're going to do, you have to carve time. You've got to block time. Dr. Dawson years ago said, and I was working 5 days a week at the time, and he said, John, he said, do you want to double your practice? I go, yeah, I want to double my practice. I'd been out like 2 or 3 years. And he goes, stop working Fridays. And he said, but, and what I mean, stop seeing patients on Fridays, but take half a Friday to plan the next 4 days. So that if you need to work on something, or if you need to teach your assistant something, that you've got time to do that. And so I think one of the biggest implementation challenges we have today is the world has not gotten any less complex. There are so many freaking distractions. And so like with our training, because it's video based and it's home based and it's, you know, if you go off to a meeting and you block the time and you're sitting, your butt sitting in the chair, it's easier to do that because you're physically gone. But if you start doing things in your office, it's so easy for the front to come grab you. And so you have to say to the team, like from 8 to 9:30 on Friday mornings, I'm doing this. And you have an assistant there and you watch the videos and you make progress, starting with getting good scans. And then if you're going to be working with the lab, you know, how the team viewer works, but getting set up. And you could probably talk about that too. I mean, you've seen that over and over for your whole career with doctors that are just stuck. And it's because they're so darn busy. And maybe they're still going to classes, but they go to classes, but never come back and never have time to build anything in to make changes. So again, with implementation is also the financial piece of it and learning the technology and all. There's a lot of things, but boy, if you could just carve time to implement the things that you're learning, I think that goes a long, long way. What do you think about that?
I totally agree. So internally, our coaches use a term, and they coach all of our clients, called GetMo. Just got to get moving. Like, you got to start. And a lot of times, perfection gets in the way. We got to get it all right. No, you just need to create progress. So this kid you're talking about, he does it. You know, you learn what by doing it. And as you can continuously adopt, you know, progress, you're good. Your soul is good with it. The other thing, I'll combine it with something I hate, which team members have said, I've heard, I can't wait for the day to end so I can start working. Now, that hurts me when I hear that. I hear people say, oh, I got to get the day over so I can start working. And I'm like, you shouldn't do that, because you're doing the work at 50% or 25% of what it could be. And anytime we design priorities internally for our company, I'm like, I got to see it in your schedule. Because if it isn't in your schedule, you're right, you don't do it. And I think that's the thing. You got to hold yourself accountable to that Friday morning that you're like, I am doing this. It's not the patient that's leaving town and I need the money. And so I'm going to see them on a Friday now, and I'll just push that back because I want to prep these teeth, type of a thing. Don't you think?
Yeah, the docs that I've seen that have done that have just sailed through this are the ones that absolutely just are, they spent the money, they block the time, and they're committed. And they're the ones that I consistently see on coaching calls, and I can see the metrics and teachable of them doing the videos, and they get their team involved. And the ones that, you know, there's a practice of a practice, I won't say where, but it was, you know, three docs, and everybody was expecting one of the other docs to do it, like to lead it. And nothing happened because no one would step up, and I would have meetings like, okay, one of you have to, and they would be pointing at each other, you know, so you got to block the time. And then I think the next thing that I think is really important is, and this is where I've really learned from working with different clients, is getting them a pretty crystal clear vision of how they're going to do it. Like, is the vision implement digital and not own software and work with a lab? Well, let me help you do that, and we'll get a lab partner and all that stuff. Is it to own the software and have the doc control most of it? And maybe the doc's kids are a little older and they like computers. You know, that's a pretty easy one. And then the third option is doc owns the software, the scanner and all that, but really wants the team involved. And so if that's the case, my assistant Charity does most of the training for that type of practice. So it's been really interesting to me to watch the three different ways people work with this. But the key is to align the tools with where they want to go. And that's usually my first conversation. Like, what are we trying to do here? Like, what do you visualize? And of course, it can shift. You know, some people start working with a lab, and then after a while, they're like, okay, I'm doing enough of this. Probably makes sense to get the software.
Yeah. You know?
And so, but that's something that we can kind of evolve into.
Oh, we have so many other shows we're going to shoot from this alone. And I mean, one of the things you've really taught me, the value of time. And so, in so many lessons, and we're going to revisit that in another podcast, but like any topic, digital is such a hot topic. We talk about the good, we talk about the challenges. Let's draw a line down the middle of the paper. Now let's talk about the downsides. Are there any downsides to digital, and what are they from your vantage point?
I think probably the biggest downside initially, I think a little bit's in our brain, but I think for a lot of docs, when they just see it, it just seems overwhelming. Like, the software just seems daunting. You know, the buttonology of the scanner seems, and there's printers now, and it's like docs feel like they have to do everything at once. And I tell them, I said, no, we're going to start with, if you're not doing anything, get a scanner, get good scans, and then, you know, work with the lab. And then if you're going to do the software thing, let's start with basic mounting. So I think the temptation for a lot of docs is, if they go in, you know, there's companies that will sell you a package. You can get a scanner, and you can get a printer, and you can get the software, and you'll save 20%. And then you get all this stuff, and it's just like too much, you know? And so the benefit is that you can piece this together in a way that is very, very, very manageable if you're if you let your brain be wired by doing that. And I'm certainly one of those people that, you know, if I go all in, I want to be there yesterday. And so Lee was the one that's like, dude, you got to slow down. You're just getting yourself to trying to do too much too fast. But that's what I think. And I think potential downside in doctors' minds is just cost. Like, at what point is there a return on this investment? For me, while there is an increased cost to this, you know, if you're no longer buying impression material, you're no longer buying stone, there's that raw cost. But just as an example, for somebody that mounted models all the time, analog, you know, my team member would probably have a good 4 hours into a set of casts to meet my standards, so that when I worked on it at 6:20 in the morning, as we talked, and I was looking and making a treatment plan early in the morning, I mean, they would work so hard, and it would take a couple of days to go through all the steps. Digital models take like 7 minutes, and it's on an articulator. You know, go right from the scans into the software. And so the time in our practice for us to be able to do things, it's just mind-blowing how fast it is. And even something as simple as waxing, you're not really waxing because you're choosing from a tooth library that were created by the best technicians in the world, and you're just importing these things and scaling teeth. Dude, it's so fun. It's just like, it's so fun. And what makes me excited about it is at 63, I'm doing really the best dentistry of my career. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is because of this, the level of planning that we can do with these workflows. It just, you know, drives the treatment, which is really, really fun.
Yeah. One of my favorite questions, because again, the people that I have on the podcast, like you, are privy to so much information. You get to see some cool stuff. As an influencer, you get to see things before it hits the market, and you're part of conversations at great forums. What's the future look like? Any guess? Like, digital, you can't even have a conversation on a daily basis without hearing AI or whatever. But what? Let's fast forward. You and I are going to talk about this 1 year from today. What's different?
I do think AI, there isn't any question. I mean, AI right now, for simple things, like if you prepped a tooth and you wanted to mill a crown, you could prep the tooth, send it to 3 shapes, and get a design back for that crown in about a minute. And it costs $1 or something, and then you can put it in your mill, and you know, contacts are right, occlusions right, and you know, people are utilizing that. So that level of design, I think, is going to now evolve to the point that we can send them the scans, send them a photograph, send them a CT, and basically get back, if you wanted to do a 28 unit wax up, you know, that type of AI stuff is there, which may get you pretty damn close. And that's what Lee thinks. You know, Lee thinks that there'll be a time when all that design work is just going to happen sort of automatically. Now, how far away from that? I don't know, but what I can say is it's shocking. Like, to your point, you know, your printer graveyard there, you know, it's like, it's shocking how fast it's moving. I think the other big area that I'm really excited about, I'm heading to Chicago in the morning, and I'll be at Lab Day on Friday, but printing. I do think that probably within 5 to 10 years, we will have printable ceramics and printable, we already can print metal and things like that. But I do think we're going to get to a point where we're not going to be milling things anymore. It'll all be printing at some level. And what's already started, what's really interesting for me to watch is I've got a half dozen clients right now that have evolved this, where they started with, you know, a scanner, and then they went ahead and got the software, and then they started printing. Now they're spending, you know, $75,000 on one of these huge mills that would be like in a laboratory. And they've even brought a person in that might have been an assistant that's learning all this. You know, back in the day when, you know, LD Pankey and Pete and all those guys, all the best dentists had technicians in their office, and they could cast gold, and they would stack porcelain, and you needed a real artist, extreme artist, to do beautiful work. Well, about the time that an Empress hit an Emax, and we had all these different ways to make crowns, a small dental laboratory couldn't afford to do that. And so the labs sort of left dental practices and labs started to get bigger. I watched Bayview Dental Lab just kind of expand to, you know, 50 or 60 technicians. But now with digital, it's starting to shift back. You know, we're starting to, if you've got a scanner and you've got software and you've got a mill and a printer, you can do dentures, you can mill crowns, you can mill big bars. I mean, if you're into it, you can do full mouth implant cases. So I do think the trend is going to be more towards printing. And I think more and more you're going to see full-blown dental labs starting to come back into dental practices. That's a trend. Our partner at CCDD is Ivoclar, and that's a trend that they're really recognizing and seeing right now, which is really interesting.
Yeah, super cool. Well, we will have that podcast a year from now and see if all that comes true. So it's going to be kind of exciting. So I want you, you know, obviously I want you to talk about your coaching program and what you do, clinical coaching. But let's do some final thoughts on the latest trends in the digital workflow.
Yeah, I think, so I, again, it's just sort of an encouragement. You know, I would tell every doctor, don't be afraid of it, embrace it. I do think that if you can, first of all, everybody asks me what scanner is the best. I'm convinced that all scanners do a great job. So you don't have to worry about that. If you're having issues with scanning, I would get with the company that sold you the scanner. They usually have pretty good trainers. Make sure that your assistants are following the geometry of the scan. You know, some scanners want to start up at number two and do the facial and then come across the occlusal and come across the lingual. They have a certain way that scans need to be stitched together. You need to follow that or you're going to get, you know, inappropriate data. So that's kind of the first thing. And then what I would say is if you're challenged by sort of what's next, you know, reach out, get some help. I mean, that's some of the stuff that we're doing right now. I'm happy to jump on a call with you or a Zoom call and kind of talk about your goals and what it is you want to do. But we have to be honest about the fact that probably in a decade from now, dental stone's going to be gone. Like this is the direction it's going. And I think the sooner we evolve with it at whatever level that is, I think that the better that we're going to be. And I'm convinced now watching so many practices implement it, it makes dentists better. Mm-hmm. It makes dentists better. It makes them more efficient. You know, there is a learning curve to this. It takes some discipline. But if you can do things more predictably and more efficiently and more profitably, those are all really good things. And that's my message.
Amen, brother. That's freaking fantastic. And like I said, we're going to have you back again and again and again on other topics. Now, one of the challenges most everybody has is like, I can't find a mentor. How do I find a mentor? Well, you don't find one. You go get one. So I know a big passion of this next chapter of your career has been taking well-meaning dentists and helping them do that, whether it be one-on-one or in a group. So I want you to talk about what you're up to now and how it all works.
Yeah. So again, I've talked about it a little bit already, but you know, when I stepped away as clinical director and, you know, lecturing in big halls, I mean, we still do some of that, but the primary core of the business is working with docs that are implementing digital. Some of the doctors want to just understand the buttonology. Some of them want the buttonology, but they also want my help with bigger cases and with planning. And I got to tell you, it's been some of the most rewarding years of my practice because when you're working with somebody one-on-one and you're watching them implement these workflows, and then we can get on a call and we can talk about photographs and x-rays and look at a virtual articulator and really plan together. I mean, that poor doctor cannot hide. Like it's one-on-one, right? I mean, and so it's so granular for me to be able to watch, see lights go on. And then the next case, you can see them starting to do some things. Andrea Schmitz in Denver, you know, never opened a bite before. And went, started working with us 2 years ago, and she's just doing big case after big case now. More comfortable than she ever was in the analog world. Noemi Cruz Orcutt's very much the same. So basically what I would say is, if you have any interest at all, just email me. I can send you a little link to our Calendly, and I'd be happy to do a little 30-minute conversation about what it is you want to do and see if it's a fit. But pretty much it's doctors that we're attracting are wanting to make this digital journey. And some of them are doctors that want to make this digital journey, but also want a little handholding and coaching, starting to implement more complex things in their practice. That's kind of been my sweet spot.
Yeah, it's awesome. So for the benefit of the people that are just listening to the podcast, where do I go? What's the website? Where do I start?
Yeah, so we have, you could go to ccdigitaldental.com, ccdigitaldental.com. And if they just want to email me any questions, just jcranham@mac.com, jcranham@mac.com.
Oh, I was so grateful you got rid of the AOL.
The joke
forever was John had an AOL and we would just ride them. So I'm like, dude, nobody does that anymore.
I was the last user.
Yeah, I think you were last loser. Loser. I'm using that
but my wife still has one. So
that's so funny. I used to joke with you like a year ago. Do you still hear the "you got mail"? Like all that kind of stuff. So. No, it's great. We'll put those in the show notes. If you're not taking notes while you're listening to podcasts, don't worry. That's what we do. I got you covered. So if you flip up to the show notes, you're going to see links to everything that John has mentioned. You can click on the link. It'll be his new email address right there. It'll generate an email. You can send it right to him. And I highly encourage you to reach out to him. He is one of my favorite teachers of all time. And I'm just grateful for your friendship, brother. Thank you so much.
Yeah, just a few other things. We got some, maybe next time we'll have some more details of it. We're going to do some live patient courses starting up in the fall. And then there'll be some other online learning opportunities that we'll be able to talk about soon. So, but anyway, as we talked about before, let's start to make this more of a regular discussion and we can just keep building on it. It'd be awesome.
For sure. Well, you're the busy one. So like,
I'm like an old guy.
Hey, I sent you like 3 texts. I got like the cricket emoji back from you. No, it's great stuff. All right. Well, stick around while I say goodbye to everybody else, but thank you guys for listening to the Best Practices Show. Hey, if you enjoyed today, which I know you did, do us a favor, hit the share button, share it with the world. You know why? Cause other people like you we get to hang out with them. I love this so much. We're going to keep bringing it with great teachers. And if you keep showing up, we'll keep bringing it. So until you hear from us next time or you see us next time, keep watching or keep listening to the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy your day. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Hey, and thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.